SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 16th of February 2026. It's a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 8,937. We'll have the details with Alex Pakoulis from Munjara Capital in a few moments. But first, the federal government continues to rule out a rise in the GST rate despite calls for ongoing tax reform by the International Monetary Fund. The IMF also has a message for the states and territories. And that's that they're spending too much, and it's leading to a noteworthy rise in debt. The IMF says while debt is below many international peers, spending on infrastructure and social protection has risen. If it continues to accelerate, it could mean additional credit rating downgrades, leading to higher interest expenses. So right now, S&P Global says the average Australian state government rating is high at AA+, but is declining, with many still spending like it's the COVID pandemic. For more, I spoke with Anthony Walker, an analyst at S&P Global Ratings. Anthony, so the IMF says the state's speed of debt accumulation is noteworthy, and if spending continues to accelerate, there are risks which could ultimately lead to additional credit rating downgrades. Would you agree, and why?
Yeah, we do agree with that. We've actually been highlighting this issue for about 5 years now, and we are seeing more rating downgrades as a result of the level of debt that the states are taking on. Late last year, we lowered ACT and Tasmania, and that was predominantly because they're spending so much money at the moment.
Run us through which states have the biggest problems and what are the outcomes of this?
Yeah, while a lot of focus is on Victoria, Victoria is actually starting to turn the corner very slowly. Our focus for the next 12 months is actually on New South Wales and Queensland. Both states have shown a very large increase in their borrowing, particularly in the last 12 to 18 months, and we expect that to continue over the forecast period for the next 3 years. So they're high on our radar. We've got them both on negative outlook, and that means we may actually lower those ratings in the next 12 months.
Okay. What does this ultimately mean for the federal government? Is it just a state issue, in other words, and will it only affect state governments?
At the moment, it is only affecting the state governments. But it's important to remember that while the sovereign has a stable outlook, state spending and debt levels do flow through that rating. So we did see that the Commonwealth started spending more, and it is actually spending quite a bit at the moment. But we did see the deficits widen at the sovereign level. At the same time, states were to continue spending. That scenario could actually start to derail the AAA sovereign. It's not our base case, but it is a risk out there.
It's Anthony Walker there from S&P Global.
Hot takes, heartaches, and South Asian stories that hit home for Australians. This is SBS Spice.
And while gendered violence is also a universal problem, it affects South Asian communities in a very, very particular way. And if we cannot tease out the culturally specific ways that are cause and effect for this type of violence, then there is little hope to understand resistances or to counter it.
Curious to hear more? Tune into SBS Spice on the SBS website or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's now go to the Australian share market, which rose today. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.2%. Of the major sectors, 8 of the 11 ended higher. The best performing information technology after tech shares were hit pretty hard last week. So we saw the likes of WiseTech Global up by about 12% today, Xero climbing 7.5%. Also having a good day, JB Hi-Fi after its profit results, which we'll talk about in a few moments. Seek climbing 8% today, the best performer, the shipbuilder share surging by 20% after being sold off late last week too. The worst performers include the likes of the iron ore miners. Following a fall in the iron ore price overnight, Fortescue down by 4.7%, Rio Tinto off by 4%. The worst performer on the 200, Treasury Wines, the market not liking it, $650 million loss for the half year, shares down by 5.1%. And some of the banks doing poorly today, ANZ down by 3%, but they did do well last week, the banks, following some profit numbers from CBA. So for a look at the day's market action, I spoke with Alex Pakoulis, who's the CEO of Munjara Capital. Alex, can we start with the US? At the weekend, it saw a softer inflation report. Is the market still betting on interest rate cuts there at some time?
Yeah, Ricardo, so inflation came in at 2.4% year on year. It was expected to be 2.5%, so it was slightly below expectations. But that 2.4% was down from 2.7% in the previous reading. So, and that's four readings of declining inflation in the US. So the Fed's looking pretty good in the US for more cuts this year. The market's pricing about 2.5% rate cuts between now and the end of the year, and added about 5 basis points to that expectation after that soft print.
When we look at the equity market, it's pretty volatile at the moment, especially in that tech space, right? What we've seen today is a rebound in tech stocks, particularly some of those software names in Australia, like Xero, for example. There was a pretty tough sell down last week on those AI concerns and the impact that AI will have on software companies. What's your take on the space, especially as investors start to focus on whether there really has been an overinvestment by companies in this technology, and that the returns, if they come, will come only down the track in years to come?
Yeah, look, so as you pointed out, there's a big move, a big bounce today. You've got WiseTech up 13%. But WiseTech, Xero and Seek, they're all up a fair bit today. They're still down 30%. Year to date. So there's been a huge impact there. Our take on this is we are positive on the build out and the rollout of AI and the impact that's going to happen. So I think it's really important there that you focus on companies with defendable moats and sensible valuations. And our take here is that this volatility is actually likely to continue because I think you're going to get more and more announcements about AI releases that are a threat to existing software businesses. So I don't think this is done by any stretch, but I do think that some value is emerging in the space as long as you're confident around that defendable moat that a company has.
I think with the US market closed, Chinese markets closed for the week for the Lunar New Year celebrations, a lot of attention is going to be what's happening locally, right? And what we're seeing at the moment is we're well and truly into reporting season. What kind of trends are you seeing at the moment, and any catching your attention?
Look, so I think the two key trends that we've seen is, number one, you've seen really solid reports out of the banks, and they're seeing really solid lending and deposit growth. So that is a sign that that activity in the economy locally in Australia has been pretty reasonable over the last 6 months, 6 to 7% lending growth, and credit quality is excellent amongst the banks. So really strong reporting there from the banks. The other trend I think that's important is just the really mixed numbers you're seeing out of retail, and in particular, you're seeing some pretty soft retail numbers so far this calendar year. So for January, both Nick Scali and JB Hi-Fi have had a low single digit and well below expectations, like-for-like sales growth in January. So I think they're the two key trends. In terms of results that have stood out to us, there are three. CBA was a cracking result. And as I said, it's those trends in the banking space. But they're also taking share, particularly in business banking, where they saw 12% growth. And they reinforced themselves as the high quality play in the bank space and you know, justifying that, that premium valuation that they trade at. JB Hi-Fi, big bounce today. Stock's been off a fair bit and under pressure, and I think what they've done in their result today is reinforced that they are the quality retailer in the Australian market. And despite the fact that sales in Australia were sort of okay and pretty soft in January, stock has bounced hard, up 8% today. I think it's trading at an excellent valuation. It's forecast to have, you know, 6 to 9% EPS growth, trading at 16 times earnings. I think it looks good value there. And the last one is car sales. You know, they printed 14% revenue growth, particularly driven by their international operations, and is forecast to do over the next couple of years sort of circa 10% earnings growth. It's trading not far from a trough valuation that you've seen it trade at any point in the last 10 years. I think with regards to AI, car sales has a really defendable moat, and I don't think that is a company that's going to be challenged by AI. So I think that's an interesting one coming out of this reporting season as well.
You mentioned the retailers earlier. Nick Scali was interesting last week too, because when Anthony Scali was asked in the analyst call about to explain the softness in the January numbers, he gave a few reasons, but also said, "Oh, maybe it might be too early to tell, but maybe these higher interest rates are starting to come through." We also know that consumers are pushing forward their spending patterns for that Christmas period to October and November. What do you think these kind of retail sales numbers say about the strength of the consumer? Because as you pointed out earlier too, they're paying down their loans at the banks.
Yeah, that's right, Ricardo. So look, I think the key thing here is we know that we went through a cost of living crisis and deep declines in disposable income in households in Australia a couple of years ago. What happened in the sort of second half of last year was the year-on-year numbers started to look a lot better, and we started to improve from the depth of those challenges. But I think the key thing here is that it's still pretty tough for households, and I think that's what we're seeing starting to come through in these numbers. So I mentioned before, credit quality for the banks is excellent, but you are just at the margin starting to see delinquencies or late payments on personal loans just starting to tick up in the most recent sort of month or two. So very much in line with what you're seeing on the high frequency retail data where January's soft. So I think that's the key thing is, yes, the Australian consumer improved from where it was sort of 12 to 18 months ago, but it's still pretty tough out there for the Aussie consumer.
Okay, and finally, how tough is it going to be for investors then? What are you telling your clients right now, and are there any opportunities for them?
Yeah, so look, we think this volatility will continue, as I said. I think it's likely that we see continued announcements out of AI companies with new developments, and that will continue to be perceived as a threat to software businesses, and that's been the main narrative in the market this calendar year. I think that as a result of that, the concerns around AI expenditure and CapEx and when are we going to get the return on that, that has dissipated a little bit. And we're reasonably positive, as I said earlier, on the outlook for those AI companies and the AI rollout. The other thing we're positive on is we're positive on US economic growth. We expect to see those cuts from the Fed, and there's a solid economic outlook in the US. We're also quite positive on resource companies, particularly on copper and gold. It's a developed world story, very different to the early 2000s when it was a China story. You know, it's electrification, it's the electricity build out, it's data center investment, and it's defense spending. So, positive on the US economy, broadly positive towards AI growth. And we also think there's a fantastic opportunity in fixed income at the moment where you can generate, you know, 7% plus returns in very defensible portfolios. And that's a fantastic medium-term, you know, return if you're sitting on high cash levels.
That's Alex Pakoulis there from Munjara Capital, and he wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Click subscribe, and I'll see you tomorrow.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.